Apparently I can edit all of this out. Don't edit it out. Okay. This morning, I want to talk some about more the metaphysical, not metaphysical, metaphorical. That's the word. I didn't have enough coffee or something, or too much. Oh, it's been a long, 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 long week. This morning, I want to talk about some of the metaphorical implications of the resurrection of Jesus. Now, I want to say right off the bat that I believe solidly in the physical resurrection of Jesus, that he stood with feet and hands and arms, and he ate fish and bread, and he broke it, and people stuck their hands in his three-day-old scars and a brand-new body, and it's weird, and I don't understand it, but it's real. He really rose from the dead. He really is alive. He really has a body. We will really rise one day with bodies. All that stuff I believe. But there are implications of resurrection that are with us now that are more metaphorical, ways that we can have new life without the actual resurrection happening. But I don't want to discount the actual resurrection that did happen and will happen. I want to talk about the ways that resurrection can happen now, even if it's not real. Does that make sense? So I'm going to walk you through what my brain did. In thinking through all of this, we begin with the disciples here in fear. It was still the first day of the week. The week started, let's back up just a little bit, very early in the morning on the first day of the week while it was still dark, and then et cetera, et cetera. Darkness covers the story. It was still the first day of the week, and that evening, it happened in the morning at the beginning, and now it's evening. That will come back to haunt us in a good way in a second. That evening, disciples were behind closed doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities. And Jesus is there, and he speaks peace, and Thomas isn't there, and they talk to him later, and he's full of doubt. The story begins in, I want to say, where we often are. The story begins where we often are, in darkness, in hiding in a house because we're full of fear, and all the things that that can mean. We in our lives are often in this place that's not good. Chaos, death, confusion, fear, doubt, uncertainty, drought, maybe would be a way to describe your life. Thin, like butter scraped across too much bread. That's where the story begins. That's where it begins. And then, because my mind doesn't think super clearly, I started thinking about an interaction I had with Courtney this week, my daughter Courtney. I was with Courtney in California, my kids were moving, and I'm helping them move, and Courtney had to write a paper for an Old Testament class. And so, naturally, she asked me to do it for her. I didn't, but I talked through some of it with her. And her passage was Genesis 1:1 to 2:3, which is the first creation narrative. Let's look at some of this creation narrative. When God began to create the heavens and the earth was without shape or form, and it was dark over the deep sea. And every day, there was an evening and there was a morning. And at the very end, it says, the heavens and the earth and all who live in them, and all the heavens and the earth and all who live in them were completed. On the sixth day, God completed all the work that God had done. If you were here on Good Friday, no, if you were here on Palm Sunday, I talked about the last word Jesus spoke from the cross on the sixth day, and he said, "It is finished." And then when I read this thing with Courtney, on the sixth day, it was completed. God completed all the work. And if you remember, I told you that the "it is finished" meant I'm done. I completed my work. Do you see all the parallels to the creation story? In the creation narratives, God creates the human. And what does God do to the human to make it alive? Breathes into it. In this passage we read today, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I'm sending you." And then he breathed on them. There are so many ways, and we could probably spend hours and hours talking about the way that Jesus' death and resurrection is about new creation. Jesus dies on the sixth day. On the seventh day, rests, just like God. Jesus says it is completed, it is finished, just like God on the sixth day of creation. He rests on the seventh day in the tomb, just like God. On the first day of the week, while it was still dark, they come to the tomb and he's not there. Evening, on the first day of the week, all of these echoes of creation, Jesus meets the disciples and he breathes on them. It's like he's creating humanity afresh. Twice in this narrative, it says on the eighth day, on the eighth day again. It's all of this starting over business. There was a 7 days of the old creation. And when Jesus dies on the cross, that world is done. It is finished. And Jesus rests and wakes up on the new first day of the week and starts it all over again, and we're living in the new creation. Just as the Father sent me, so I'm sending you, Jesus says. Breathes on them and sends them out into this new world, into this new creation. That made me think back to our talking about the Old Testament half of last year. And what is God's mission but to restore creation, to call and create and form a people to be partners in that mission to restore creation. And that's what this is. This is the New Testament summary of God's mission to restore creation. When I talk to people about God's mission, what is God doing in the world? What are we supposed to do with God in the world? I'll summarize it with one word. And that word is, can you guess, guess what I'm going to say? Take a second. What is the one word I'm going to say? I'll say two words, one in English, one in Hebrew. Peace. Shalom. Which doesn't just mean the absence of violence, but it means wholeness and rightness and everything. Everything is peace, harmony. I often do, when I talk about what God is up to in the world, I will say God is after shalom. God is after peace. Over and over and over again in this passage, Jesus says, "Peace be with you." It's like God is doing this new thing, like starting creation all over again. We often still are living in the chaos and the fear sometimes we're trapped in our own selfishness. Sometimes we're the victim of other people's selfishness. Sometimes we are a prisoner of our own short-sightedness. We are overwhelmed by waves of grief or sadness or confusion or doubt. Sometimes our hearts are just broken for the way other people are in pain. We are the disciples still living behind closed doors so often. We're still living in the old creation. And breaking into the closed, locked doors of our lives stands Jesus, saying, "Peace, and our job in this." I don't even know how to, I have no idea what our job is. God's the one who does it. What we need to do is simply be open to God working. That we might say, okay, God, new creation. I don't know what that means. I don't know what it looks like, but okay. I wrote words down in case I would forget them. God is working to restore all of creation, including the chaos in your own life. God is working to restore all of creation, including the chaos in your own life. God is working to restore all of creation, including the chaos in your own life. Your own anxiety, fear, pain, strained relationships, destructive or disruptive patterns in your life. This is global and cosmic in scale, and it is small and personal in all of the details of our lives. So be open to what God is trying to do in and around and through you, to bring about new creation. As I was thinking about how to pray, I thought there are no better words than the prayer of St. Francis. So join me in prayer. I'm going to use the personal singular pronoun, but I mean this as corporately, and pray it for your own self and for all of us together as well. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is shadow, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Oh God, make that prayer true in us and through us and around us, that your world might experience your peace. Amen.